This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Mike Rakebrandt and Gary Byrne, and hopefully real soon, Walter Yerkew. This is 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. Check us out at 75radio.org, the number 75radio.org. Mike, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, brother. Thank you. How are you?
Outstanding. And our brother Gary Byrne, we decided to have him come on for grins and giggles because he doesn't come on often enough, usually when something bad happens with the U.S. Secret Service. How are we doing tonight, Gary?
Good. How are you guys?
Outstanding. And Gary, please do not mention the Canadian banana hammock like your last appearance.
No, and I will rounding, not.
Outstanding. And rounding out our all-star stable of talent is Walter Yerkew, who just stepped out of the stretch Kia. How are we doing tonight, sir?
Good, man. I forgot.
you forgot it's Saturday night? Anyways. Great. Yep, this is 7-5 Radio. We are red hot rolling. It is September the 14th, 2024. Special hello to our listeners, Little Billy Keebler and the men and alleged woman of the Onondaga's New York Fire Department, also known as the Cellar Savers. Also, we want to welcome New York's finest, New York's bravest, New York's boldest, and all of our listeners on Long Island, especially in the 2nd Congressional District. First order of business has been always to read the names of members of the law enforcement community who are murdered in the line of duty. But tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to remember the 23rd anniversary of the 11th of September, 2001. And just read some numbers of those who made the ultimate sacrifice. New York City Police Department lost 23 members of the service. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey Police Department lost 37 members of the service. One member of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was lost, one special agent from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, one master special officer from the United States Secret Service, three members of the New York State Court Administration, five members of the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance, one member of the Fire Department of New York Fire Marshal Division, and 343 members of the New York City Fire Department. Godspeed, one and all. Anyways, our first story tonight is about the, what I call the somewhat great debate. The first and probably last presidential debate was over this past week. In my opinion, it was just a so-so debate. It wasn't anything groundbreaking. It wasn't like a prize fight on pay-per-view. To me, Kamala Harris just won on her style of debate. She was, you know, weeks of coaching. And Trump went on substance. There are no knockouts. There's nothing much else to say, unlike the dumpster fire that will compare Kamala Harris to JFK. Mike, I'll turn it over to you since you are also the co-host of the Dirt Road podcast, and you had something earlier on your podcast. Take it away, sir.
Thank you very much. I don't know. I felt like Trump missed a lot of really good opportunities to smash her during that debate. Like, he flubbed it a bit. He really didn't bring the fire. He could have gotten way more into policy, forced her on policy much more, and he didn't. You know, she did exactly what I expected her to do, more or less. I mean, she did better than I thought she would do, but realistically, she didn't answer a single question. She just kind of talked around things and danced around things, and she had two very compliant, you know, so-called moderators that were there just, you know, carrying water for her the entire time. So I don't feel like anybody won that debate, really. The debate should have been about, you know, grabbing those people in the middle, the undecided, the independents, and I don't think either one of them really gained anything from it. So I just see it as like kind of a wash.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what say you about this debate?
Well, you know, I agree with Mike. You know, nobody came out on top. You know, Kamala, you know, wouldn't shut up, you know, even though it was supposed to be a muted mic. Her mic wasn't muted a number of times, and, you know, she started jawboning over at the Don. And, you know, the Don didn't pay much attention to her, you know, except when he took his opportunity to say, you know, I'm talking now. Does that sound familiar? Which he was talking. And, you know, I thought that was a good, you know, that was a good stab. But as Mike said, you know, he could have hit on a lot more points on what she represents right now as opposed to what she says she's going to represent day one. The day one is supposed to rectify everything that her and Creepy Joe screwed up the past 3.5 years. So, and but then again, I believe his coaches told him that, you know, the public already knows that. You know, we already know it. Every station has carried that. Even the Democratic left-wing stations, you know, have said, oh, she's changed her mind about fracking, and she's changed her mind about gun control and taking guns and stuff. What I wanted to hear, and she didn't answer the first question, you know, is the economy better now than it was 4 years ago? And she absolutely did not answer that question. So we can expect more of not answering questions from her. I don't think there was a clear winner. Mr. Trump, he addressed the so-called moderators like he should. They asked the questions. He's giving them the answers. She kept looking to Trump, you know, for a reaction to what she was saying. I don't think there was a clear winner, but I believe he come out, you know, on top a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, Gary, you met a couple of presidents a couple of times, more than once. That was part of your job duties. What's your opinion of this debate?
Well, I think, she's the most incompetent person that's ever been in that position. And everything you guys said was 100%, but I would just like to point out this, that nobody chose her to be there. Nobody but the Democratic Party. No Democrats got to vote for her, and I think it's appalling. And I realize, you know, which I don't know if a lot of people understand this, that the Democratic Party is like a company. They can do whatever they want. The fact that she's even in that position, and let's not forget, 4 years ago, Joe Biden looked us in the eye and said the reason he picked her was because of her skin color. And she, you know, technically she's not even African-American. She's Indian, and she's her father was Jamaican. Yeah.
Jamaica.
And setting that aside, who cares what color she is? She has never accomplished a thing. Never. She has nothing. 3.5 years as the vice president, and the only thing you can possibly say she was supposed to do was be involved in securing the border. And she wasn't. I mean, she only went down there one time, and she looked like she was completely lost. And you know, the feedback from the police down there, the Border Patrol at the time, was that she was completely clueless, which goes in line with everything else. You know, I feel bad for – if you're somebody who's a Democrat, and I feel bad because you didn't get a they didn't get a choice in that, and they're just jamming her down their throats.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gary, another point I'd like to make that she said – was that, you know, she was the only one on stage that prosecuted cartels and put him in jail. Now, I want to know what cartels she's put in jail, you know, because the United States government, before she came into the picture, couldn't hold on to that what's his name, Chapo. We couldn't hold on to him. The guy kept escaping.
Yeah.
So what cartels has she put in, okay, because when – you know, cartels, from what I've read and what I've studied about cartels, they take no prisoners. If you put one of them away, they will come and they will cut you to pieces. So
yeah.
I don't know what cartels, and I'd like her to name them. You know, that's my fact check.
Right. So here's the thing about that statement. She's not going to name him because it's not real. It's like anything else they say. She suffers. She seems to suffer from this, whatever it is Joe Biden has. As they're speaking and it occurs to them to say something, whether it's true or not, like, I mean, how many times did he make statements? He might be talking to a group of African-Americans, and all of a sudden he's saying, Joe Biden would say, oh, well, I went to a all-black college. No, you didn't. You didn't go into anything like that. And that's what she does.
Well,
you know, it would make her sound cool that I went after a cartel. If it's in cartel, she could have been down at the border stopping them from bringing drugs across
anyway,
the border.
Hey, hold that thought, fellas. We're coming on our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about Springfield, Ohio. And you're not going to want to miss this. And this is 75 Radio. Take away, boys.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Dead cats, dead rats, did you see what they were at? All right. Dead cat and tough hat. Woo! Sucking on a young man's blood. Wishing he could come, yeah. Sucking on the soldier's brain. Wishing it would be the same. Dead cat, dead rat. Did you see what they were at? Fat cat in top hat. Thinks he's an aristocrat. He can kill and slaughter. Thinks he can shoot my daughter. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. All right.
And we are back. That was Doors Live in Springfield, Ohio this week. Springfield, Ohio made the news when Donald Trump mentioned that they were eating cats. 20,000 Haitian migrants were flown in by our U.S. government on your dime to the small town, and it's absolutely tearing it up. Now, this is why you should listen to 75 Radio, because Walter and Mike had their own experience with these wonderful immigrants from Haiti. Walt, take it away. What's your experience with these Haitians?
Picture this. South Jamaica, Queens, 1985. Okay, there was a big in the 113 and the 103. There was a big influx of people from Jamaica, which aren't bad people because I know a lot of them. Some of them are really nice people. Haitians, they came in, they took all the houses, and there was a lot of them living in abandoned houses. And Grant, you know, there's not much in the way of stores around there. You know, a few Queens bodegas, that's about it. I mean, there wasn't no Walmart or anything. There was Rochdale Village there right outside the 113's parking lot. But it was really what it was named after, you know, Rochdale. It was disgusting. Anyway, the times that I had to go into one of these places, you know, with warrants and stuff like that, we'd find dogs' heads, cats' heads, tails. We'd find them, and then we'd find bones. So people in desperate situations do eat domesticated animals, you know, let alone, you know, geese and ducks and stuff like that. But there aren't any geese and ducks in Jamaica, Queens. The same thing in East New York, okay, when I worked in the 75. Same thing. You know, you got to understand where these people came from. They didn't come from a place where there was a Walmart on the corner or a Kroger on the corner, okay? These people are used to eating off the land. Our cowboys, okay? What do you see in cowboy movies? You see them eating squirrels and you see them eating rabbits, you know, and stuff like that. So it's not so much false. It just hasn't been proven in Springfield, except from what people are saying that they heard or people saying that they saw, but they don't have any concrete evidence. You know, when these people were coming up across the border in the caravans that Mr. Trump used to call them caravans, like he said the other night, they would come for hundreds of miles. What in the world does the white bread America think these people ate on the way? Anything they can get their hands on and cook. So it's not that far-fetched that, you know, Mrs. Jones' cat is missing. So it's not that far-fetched. And they're having fun with it, just like the coyote thing. You know, when Trump said that the coyotes are bringing babies across the border, right away the left thinks about the dogs. So, you know, it's just ridiculous how the left jumps on stuff and just makes fun of it and doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. So, you know, until this gets squared up and straightened up, I believe that it's happening. I don't know what kind of an abundance, but I believe it's happening. I believe it's happening. Mike?
Mike, tell us your experience of working the West Indian Day Parade in Brooklyn on Labor Day weekend. I heard it's just like the Disney Parade down on Main Street.
If the Disney Parade had homicide at every corner, every 5 minutes, maybe. The West Indian Day Parade is basically an organized riot in Brooklyn every Labor Day weekend. Starts with Juve the night before. That whole weekend's a hot mess. It's just shooting after shooting, stabbing after stabbing, just, you know, chaos, basically, just organized chaos. And not really organized chaos, we just kind of contain it to, like, one section of Brooklyn. And, you know, that was basically it. It was a hot, hot mess. It was extremely violent. You know, extremely deadly. There was always multiple homicides every single year. I caught homicides there, working that detail as a detective. I worked it as a cop in uniform and had to, you know, stand on shooting scenes and things like that. It's just a hot, hot mess. But Walt's right. You have people who come from places that they don't have the kind of infrastructure we have here. So they're going to be used to living off the land, doing the kind of things that maybe we would not do. And then you take those people, 20,000 or so people, and you dump them in a community of 60,000. So now you've increased the community's population by about a third of what was there. The resources are going to be taxed to the maximum. You know, there's not going to be enough. It's just not built to sustain it. Communities don't, you know, handle huge influxes of people like that very easily. So I agree with Walt. I think it probably is happening. I don't know to what degree, but I do believe it's actually happening. You know, because you're going to have a lot of people who are hungry, who are not able to maybe get food or get the things they need, you know, and people are like, oh, it's America, you can get food anywhere, but maybe not. you know, and maybe they just don't want to, or maybe this is just what they did back home and they're doing it again. But I agree. I think it is actually happening. I think people are reporting it for a reason, whether the left media or right media, whatever, wants to debunk it, they could try. But realistically, I think it's going to be like everything else. It's going to, you know, prove to be true very, very quickly.
Right. And, Mike, let's go back to the parade. I remember when I was on the job for a hot minute, we up in the Bronx said, thank God we're not out in Brooklyn, because we would have gone into that horrible detail. Is it true that the cops on the scene doing the parade detail were told don't arrest anybody for anything greater than a felony?
Yeah. No, they didn't want anything. They didn't want you bringing in anything. So you didn't bring anybody drinking. You didn't bring anybody smoking. Simple assaults, you weren't bringing people in. It would have to be like a stabbing, a shooting, a gun, something along those lines before you were bringing somebody in. One of the guys I worked with, great, great cop in any crime. You know, he was a phenomenal cop when he was in crime, before, when I was still on patrol, he was in any crime. He actually caught a guy with a grenade launcher walking up Utica Avenue one time during Juve. Jeez. You know, I've seen guys, we caught guys with, you know, Tech 9s, Mac 10s, you name it, every kind of gun you could imagine. It was extremely violent. And they didn't want nonsense. Like they said, nonsense collars, right? So we weren't calling you for weed. We weren't calling you for other things. We were calling you for, you know, carrying a gun, which there was, that was like the Super Bowl for any crime in the city at that time, for those years. You know, you're basically going out looking for guns all weekend. I mean, you would start working in the squad. We would start on Thursday, come in Thursday evening, and you pretty much could guarantee that you were going to be there through Tuesday, you know, because it was, you knew you were going to catch homicides, shootings, stabbings, everything. So you weren't going anywhere. So you would plan to be there the whole weekend. And anybody in the precinct that worked in the precinct knew that also. They'd bring all their stuff, sleeping bags, everything. And you stayed there for the weekend because it was just a nonstop marathon of just insanity. You know, 3-4 days straight, nonstop.
But Mike, why would the city put up with this nonsense? They say, listen, you people can't behave. We're not going to give you this permit for this parade because there's too many homicides going on.
There were never permits for that thing for many, many years. It just was one of those things that went on, and nobody ever actually got a permit for it, and it was just tolerated for years. And it was, you know, a cultural thing, you know, and the news would always report, oh, this great cultural event, and they'd show these women in these beautiful costumes. And don't get me wrong, there were some very beautiful costumes. There were some nice cultural aspects to it. But overall, it was just a giant, hot, bloody mess, you know, and they would, you know, downplay that every year. You know, for whatever cultural reason they were talking about, you know, it's the same identity politics nonsense you see from the left, you know, and it's a left city, obviously. So they would constantly downplay that part. They would never talk about that part, you know, but it was bad. It was really, really bad.
Right. Gary, real quick, what's your opinion on the mess that is Springfield, Ohio?
It's happening. I mean, there's plenty of information on social media. I've seen enough, you know, I don't have to be hit in the head with a flying cat. It just, you know, that again, you guys have already sort of said this. You take 20,000 people and you put it in a town of existing 40,000, and yes, there's going to be signs of strife. Again, these people they're, you know, this, I don't say this to be mean, but they have a third world mentality. They're used to scrounging for their food. They live in really bad places with, you know, without normal plumbing systems, and their hygiene is a lot different than what we're used to. And then you plop them in the middle of, you know, Midtown America, and there's going to be huge problems. And the politicians that are doing this, they don't care because it ain't their neighborhood, and they never have cared. They're just doing it to boost up numbers, in my opinion, to boost up numbers so they can justify a huge surge in voting. And I think it's a crime. They're setting these people up for disaster. And the American citizens that already live there, that's not what their tax dollars are supposed to be used for. You know, they're supposed to be used to take care of them, not to make their lives more miserable.
You're absolutely right. And it's not just Springfield, Ohio. There's a town in upstate New York near Onondaga called Utica having the same problem with Somali migrants. But anyways, we'll come back. That's part one of an immigration mess. We got a story in my neck of the woods. Also, cops in D.C. were railroaded, and some earth-shattering news. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on Living News Radio Network.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-504-8790. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-504-8790. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-504-8790.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
An investigation into reports the engines can catch fire on some Jeep SUVs and trucks with the ignition turned off.
The probe covers more than 781,000 Wranglers and Gladiators from the 2021 through 2023 model years. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says it has 9 complaints of engine fires from owners, including 1 injury. A majority of the reports say fires began in the passenger side of the engine compartment. The agency says it's opening the investigation to determine the cause and scope of the problem and how often it happens. John Scott reporting.
Authorities say a Massachusetts State Police recruit has died one day after becoming unresponsive and suffered a medical crisis during a training exercise. Enrique Delgado Garcia was 25. Police have not specified what type of exercise he was participating in. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. An amazing rescue.
A man whose pickup truck got trapped in rushing floodwaters unleashed by rains from Hurricane Francine was saved by a Good Samaritan who also happened to be an emergency room nurse. Miles Crawford waded through waist-high water in New Orleans on Wednesday night to smash through the truck's back window and pull the driver out. 10 minutes later, the vehicle was fully submerged. The 39-year-old Crawford cut his hand in the process but said he had no choice but to do what had to be done. Keith Peters reporting.
Attorneys for Sam Bankman-Fried filing an appeal claiming the imprisoned FTX founder was the victim of a rush to judgment by a public that wrongly believed he was guilty even before he was arrested. Lawyers asking a 3-judge panel to reverse that conviction and then assign the case to a new judge for a retrial. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
you're still listening, here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew, Mike Rigprant, and Gary Byrne. Breaking news, Walter Yerkew somehow has a picture of my foot when I was attempting to catch a guy eating a cat in Springfield, Ohio. The guy saw me, I got scared, and I snapped a picture of my foot and sent it to Walter. It's a picture of a well-manicured foot in an open-toed shoe. two things, Walter. I don't get manicures. Yep, and I don't have nail polish on my toes, but we'll post this on the 705 radio website. How did you get this picture, sir?
Oh, it was posted online by I can't say who.
By a secret source.
I can't give up my sources exactly.
Okay. Anyways, yep, this is 705 Radio. All right, our next story, in my backyard in Manassas, Virginia, this piece of human garbage.
I hate Manassas, Virginia.
Why do you hate Manassas?
I went through there a few years ago and stayed at a hotel, and then the Hells Angels decided to show up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, maybe it's the New York chapter of the Angels that want to say hi. Anyways, this piece of garbage, Enrique Carrera, decided to abduct a teenage girl head walking to school one morning. What's even worse about this horrific crime is that Enrique Carrera is an illegal alien. It gets worse. He was caught at the border and was released. So, you know, there's the border czar doing what she does best. You got this piece of human garbage caught at the border, released, and then he's up in my backyard, literally in my backyard, and he's kidnapping teenage little girls going to school. Fortunately, the girl was able to escape from his vehicle and was unharmed. But that's their border czar at work. Anyways, our next story takes place in my neck of the woods, Washington, D.C. A decorated cop from the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington was convicted of second-degree murder. It turns out this officer, Terrence Sutton, was attempting to stop a person on a moped or electric scooter who was riding on the sidewalk without a helmet. This person gave chase and was struck by a car and died from his injuries. So this decorated officer and his supervisor, Andrew Zabavsky, was convicted of conspiracy and obstruction of justice. So we got a cop attempting to do a traffic stop, gets convicted of second-degree murder because the mope got hit by a car. No wonder we don't have people joining our rank and file. Gary, you used to work in this town as a member of law enforcement. You had to deal with the D.C. courts, because the D.C. courts, the local jurisdiction, is actually a federal court. What say you about this this poor officer getting railroaded?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened. He's getting railroaded. Listen, there's a certain amount of inherent danger in being a criminal, and there's a certain amount of liability that you have to let the police departments have. You can't charge a police officer for the bad behavior of somebody else. Here's the thing. They refused to stop. They got hit by a car. It's a terrible thing. And that's what happens when you break the law and commit crimes. And the ideal that they're not the cops, the police department, doesn't have some type of immunity is unheard of. This is why you said it. It's hard to get people into law enforcement. And the truth is, it's causing a hemorrhage, a huge hemorrhage. Large departments, and Metropolitan's one of them, where people are either retiring early or they're just leaving. New York City, they're all experiencing this, because why would you risk your life and your livelihood and your family's livelihood, in some cases the house that they live in, for people that don't even want to be protected? It's just done a 180 of what it was like years ago.
Right. Now, Gary, did you ever have to go through the D.C. Superior Court for while you're with the Secret Service?
Yeah, sure. I made a couple of arrests, was involved in other arrests, were witnesses to stuff. I was, you know, there a couple times. And you know, setting aside the time I spent being subpoenaed and stuff under Bill Clinton's impeachment, but I was involved in a few arrests for regular crimes, theft, homeless people trying to stab each other in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue, you know, your typical Saturday. And I was involved in a pretty cool car chase at one time. It never went to court, but it was a good car chase. So anyway, go ahead.
When you went to court, how were you treated? Did they treat you okay, or they treat you worse than the perp?
Yeah, so we were treated pretty good, except for, here's the thing, you know, it's funny, I didn't look at it this way back then. This is 25, 30 years ago, but it was kind of a sign of times to come, was it was hard to get charges brought up against somebody for police for assault on a police officer. You had to be, I saw guys that were, you know, had stitches, broken noses, and they would let the charges drop. And so it, even back then, like when it came to the citizens, you know, fighting and resisting arrest and beating the living crap sometimes out of law enforcement, the court just kind of let it slide many, many times.
Just like New York, you know, all these big city courts suck, more or less. Well, what say you? Because I know you have an opinion about this car chase that turned into a second degree murder conviction.
You know, I get it. You know, but it was a moped. You know, I wasn't there. I don't know what the extravagant crime the guy committed. It was a moped. You know,
well,
on the stop sign or something. If you don't catch him today, you'll get him tomorrow. I just never saw the necessity of chasing somebody for a traffic infraction. I just never saw it. Now if you shot a cop's wife or something, yeah, I'd run him over myself. You know, or your partner or something, or he tried to hurt you in some way, but it's a traffic stop. Again, you know, we talk about things like this on the show from time to time, and it's all with training. It's all with training. So I believe, you know, more training needs to be done, because, you know, you don't want to be tried by 12. When you do something wrong, because right now being a cop is really not the living that you want to do, because of all the restrictions and handcuffs, and they handcuff you and stuff like that. So you know, why add fuel to the fire? Cop's job is to do nothing until something happens. And if you're really bored, you're going to chase somebody on a moped for going through a stop sign. Just my opinion, guys, but, you know, I'm not against it, but just my opinion, guys.
Right. Mike, mm-hmm. Do you think he should have been brought up on charges for secondary murder?
Absolutely not.
Not at all?
Not at all. No, he did his job. It's in bad circumstances, right? It sucks. I mean, I'm sorry the guy's dead. I really am. You know, you don't want to see a guy die for a traffic stop, but at the end of the day, he could have complied. He could have done what he was supposed to do, and he'd still be alive. Maybe with a nonsense case that's already been out, in and out and done. But he chose. He chose what he did, and those actions he chose led to his own death. It's got nothing to do with the cops or anybody else. They did their job. I mean, this guy chose something different, and he got killed for it. It sucks, but it's not the cops' fault.
Right, but that's DC in a nutshell. Luckily, this officer, he was convicted of second-degree murder, obstruction of justice, and what was the other charge? Conspiracy. His supervisor was charged with conspiracy and obstruction of justice. Now, I understand, you know, he might have violated the chase policy from the patrol guide or SOP, but, you know, the intent wasn't to kill the guy. The intent was to stop him, because driving in D.C. nowadays, these idiots on these mopeds and scooters, they're unlicensed, not unregistered, because due to their engine size, they don't need to be registered as a motor vehicle. And they are just all over like Evel Knievel. And of course, when the guy got hit by a car and died from his injuries, all hell broke loose. This was in the summer of George Floyd. So all hell broke loose in the 4th District, wanting this guy's head in a platter. And, of course, the U.S. attorney decided to convict somebody. Anyways, we come back. We'll talk about Nathan's Famous and some earth-shattering news. This is 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. Stay tuned, everybody.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Kiwi. Oh, here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. While everybody's listening, there's also commercials for Prep Start and the Foundation for Moral Law. I was doing my due diligence and looking at the Instagram account of our spokesmodel one, Danella Rodriguez. Follow her at danella.fitnessmodel. I do this for our YouTube clips I will be uploading tomorrow. Anyways, Gary, did you get that exclusive photograph from Mr. Yerkew?
No.
All right. You might want to check your phone. Anyways.
Okay.
Mike, did you get the photograph?
The one of your feet? Yes, I did see that photograph.
Does that look like a guy's foot?
That looks like your foot.
How do you know what my foot looks like?
We have other pictures to compare with.
Okay. I saw the picture. If that's your foot, we got some issues. I see this going down the same road as the banana hammock. It's not going to go well.
I think this is worse.
I'm not even going to talk about the shoe. So I'm going to let that go.
It's all right. Let's move along now. All right. you know what? I think you gentlemen are just jealous.
You did a good job with the painting. The nails look great.
Thank you. Wait a minute. That's not my foot. That's just some random foot Walter posted. Anyway, can we continue?
Agreed.
All right. Anyways, the story that will not that keeps on giving concerning Nathan Famous struck again. This story happened to slip through the bun. Fulton County, Georgia, District Attorney Fannie Willis's daughter was pulled over on a traffic stop in Tyrone, Georgia, which is located in Fayette County, Georgia, not Fulton County, Georgia. The younger Willis called her mom, and Fannie showed up with someone in another vehicle. Was it her father? Nope. It was her lover, Nathan Wade. Anyway, some time ago, the lovers claimed that the relationship has ended. I guess it has. You know, the younger Willis gets pulled over, calls mom, and mom calls the boyfriend to head over to Fayette County where she's located. So, anyways, this is just another example of hypocrisy, because Willis said, oh, yeah, it's over between me and Nathan's Famous, and it's not. And as we said time and time again, Fannie Willis is a total embarrassment to the legal system. The case against the president should be dismissed. Two more charges out of the 17 were dropped. And not only should she be thrown out of office as the Fulton County District Attorney, but she should be disbarred for her misconduct. But I wouldn't be surprised if she does get a job if, God forbid, Kamala Harris wins the election. Well, what say you about Nathan's Famous?
Well, you know, he always seems to be there with her. You know, it just goes to show you that, you know, she perjured herself. She lied under oath. So did he. You know, enough said. You know, enough with these clowns. You know, put them in jail already, for God's sake. You know, fire them, put them in jail.
Right. Mike, what say you about Fannie and Nathan's Famous?
So just proving what everybody knew already, right? They're corrupt. They think they're above the law. They're doing everything they want to do. They're not doing anything they're supposed to do. I agree with Walt. They should be charged themselves by now. It's gotten well beyond the point of hypocrisy. It's gotten well beyond that now, to the point of being, actually, I would say, criminal. She's going now to interfere with her daughter's case. No, enough. Enough with them.
Right. Gary, you want to chime in?
I'm not sure I can say anything else. You all are 100% right. It's you know, I guess one of my first questions is what crimes are not getting prosecuted while they're wasting their time with one of them, you know, the most decent man that ever decided to be a politician? You know, what crimes are they missing? And you know, the people that live in that area, they aren't paying taxes for them to go after, you know, false crimes on a guy, basically political prosecution. I think it's a disgrace, and the idea, and clearly they, you know, this girl got pulled over for some reason, and her mother, who's a district attorney, and another one shows up. Clearly, they're looking for favors, and that's not what's supposed to happen. And it's just adds another bit of interest to the entire scam, and it's a disgrace.
Right, and you know what? I think I solved the foot issue. That picture of a foot belonged to one Fannie Willis. That's just my opinion.
I'm not even going to touch that.
All right. And our final story, some earth-breaking news. A rock and roll star has a child out of wedlock. Musician wow. Dave Grohl admits to having a child out of wedlock. In other news, the sky is blue, water is wet, Fannie Willis is corrupt, and Scoop Stanton does not paint his toenails. But anyways, my thing is that with all the news that's going on, with the election, the border, school shootings, inflations, the stranded astronauts, Boeing's on strike, this is a major news story. But it shouldn't be, because for years, gentlemen, we're all of a certain age. Rock and roll is nothing about getting with chicks. You got the band Grand Funk Railroad singing "We're an American Band." If you listen about that, they're, you know, having fun after a show. You also have Lynyrd Skynyrd with the song "What's Your Name," little, and, you know, it's like "What's Your Name, Little Girl," and they're trying to get her up to the hotel room. And then you have any random Van Halen song from the first three or four albums. So you know, not to mention countless other songs from other bands about scoring with chicks.
Well, don't forget Steven Tyler disavowed Liv Tyler for years. Steven Tyler
really?
Did. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She didn't know who her father was. Her mother told her that her father was a famous rock star, but wouldn't tell her who it was. And one night they went to an Aerosmith concert, and her girlfriend was with her. And when she saw them, you know, standing next to Liv Tyler and looking at Steven Tyler, she said, "That's got to be your father. He looks just like you." And sure enough, it was. So it's not unheard of, you know. Yeah, he didn't acknowledge her till she was, you know, in her late teens, early teens.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Same with Larry Bird. Yep.
Larry Bird?
Yeah, Larry Bird had a child that supposedly from a, you know, on the road date there for years that he wouldn't acknowledge. So, you know, it's not unheard of. It's always sad for the child. But the funny thing about the Foo Fighters guys was he was sort of in the news a couple of weeks before because he was trying to say that the Trump organization was using one of their songs without permission. What he forgot was he doesn't own those songs anymore. They sold them to a company, and the company allows the Trump organization to use the song, so he's got no say in it. I just thought it was kind of ironic.
Right. And here's what's really surprising about the story is that the lady gave birth to the daughter. You would think that, like, go get an abortion. But no, the lady carried the child to term. And
right.
The child is, you know,
right.
A healthy,
yeah, which is a good thing, right?
Girl. Yep.
Yeah, which is always a good thing. Yep.
Yep. Well, what say you about a musician having a child out of wedlock?
You know, it just doesn't happen to musicians. You know, it just doesn't happen to musicians. Look at Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson got a whole tribe of freaking kids from other women. You know, who else? Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon, how many kids he's got? 16?
Like 17?
Yeah. So, you know, these guys, you know, like to mess around, but they're not careful. And, of course, the girl knows they're multimillionaires. So they let them, you know, fire at will.
Right. Mike, what say you? You got about a dozen kids up and down the Long Island Expressway.
Only the four that I claim right now. The rest we don't talk about. No, I mean, look, it's you know, I'd like, why is anybody surprised? Like, this is like somehow news. Like, first of all, I could care less about this guy's kids. That's his business to worry about, you know? And second of all, if you're getting like your morality barometer or something like that from a musician like that, then you've really got worse problems than worrying about his kids, you know? Like, you need to really rethink your life. It's just crazy. Like, why are we even talking about it? Who cares?
Right. But
I like the music. I don't care about the guy's personal life. I mean,
right,
I like the music,
right,
but I don't care about the guy's personal life.
Well, I was never a fan of Foo Fighters or Nirvana. You know, for grunge music, Soundgarden is my thing. But anyways, the last couple seconds left. Gary, I'll give it to you. Do you have anything you want to promote or say or anything like that real quick?
No, not really. I just wanted to thank everybody again. I always appreciate when you have me on. And I hope everybody has a safe weekend.
All right. For Gary Byrne, Mike Ray Brain, Walter Yerke, this is Peter Scoop standing around you. You can make a difference. Go out and make it. Take it away, boys.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.